If you had a question, I'll ask it. How old were we all when we started playing, and are these our original instruments? Collectively, yeah. I was 11. We were 22. I was about, but when I started playing bass, I was about 11 or 12, something like that. And yes. But you see, my story is that I was playing guitar and piano, and I didn't even have any idea that this existed. I mean, I saw it, but I hadn't been close to one. And my father was not really a musician, but he had been playing washed-up bass. And he had built himself a washed-up bass. He was a very resourceful man and a farmer, and just sort of, you know, made things appear out of nothing. And he built himself a washed-up bass, and then I guess he decided to upgrade one day. And but I guess, also, I remember very distinctly that I don't think he discussed it with my mother, because he came home with this bass one day, and I remember my mother standing at the top of the stairs going, "What have you done?" And he just said, "I bought me a bass," and this happened to be the bass. And we had no idea that it was such a great instrument that he actually found this great deal on. And it was in the house. And so trust me, if you want your kids to play, just buy instruments and bring them and sit them in the house and tell them not to play with them, and then they will play with them. My folks have totally encouraged me to play them, and they made it possible. And so I started playing the bass, and because I had the knowledge of the guitar and stuff, the bass is a very easy instrument to start playing fast and join in on, particularly on bluegrass jams. It's just as hard as any other instrument to get really, really good at, but it's easy to join in on. It's a lot of fun if you're just playing on. So when did you start?
I was around 8 or 9 years old. And my dad is also a bass player. I grew up playing bluegrass music, and which is really good. It's a really cool thing if you start playing a folk type music first before you learn. I learned, in school and stuff much later, how to read music and different things like that. But because I learned how to play by ear first, I think it kind of led to me. I mean, I played tons of different instruments when I was in high school band and stuff like that. So, any foundation with being able to learn by ear really helps along with that. But bass was my first instrument as well. And I learned some other instruments and forgot how to play those, and learned other ones and forgot those. So, yeah.
So you read music too?
I haven't in a while, but yes. Yeah, I don't really have any purpose for reading music anymore. Pretty much everything I do is kind of, just learning stuff off old records and picking out how the songs go by ear and everything, which is a very, very valuable skill. So picking out the chords.
I was 3 and I started on the violin. Wow. Little Suzuki boy. Yeah.
So how'd you get to cello? Why did you, what was the transition?
My younger brother, when I was about 8, started playing it. And so I decided to usurp his cello throne. And then, so he quit playing cello, and then a few years later, he started playing guitar. And then I was like, I'm going to usurp his guitar throne. And then him and my other brother started skateboarding. No, they started rollerblading. Whoops. Yeah, they had rollerblades, and they're kind of... And I got to the end of the driveway, and I fell on my head every time, so I was like, over it.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, my question, Missy, for you. You're a 6-time IBMA Bass Player of the Year award winner. In your opinion, what makes a good bass player? When you see bass players out there jamming, whatever, how do you know they're a good bass player?
Don't you kind of feel when someone's a good bass player rather than sit there? You don't really sit there and think about it a lot of time, and you're just like, man, that bass feels good.
Well, and it feels good because of the timing first, you know, the way they feel the beat. It doesn't, hot licks are not, you know, the thing that makes me think a player is great. I have a lot of favorites, and some of them are like melodic favorites. I think they have really great solos and think of interesting notes, but I have other favorites who are my real bass player favorites who play the right, you know, just one solid beat and don't do as many solos. So it's how it feels. I know this is gonna sound totally biased, but a band is made and broken on a bass. Yeah. I mean, it's, if the bass beat isn't in the right place, then everything else is gonna go one way or the other with that. So I just think, I listen to where the beat is first. I listen to whether, you know, it's in tune and the runs and, you know, actually what they play in between the notes doesn't matter nearly as much as when they are. I don't know, yeah. That's what made his sound, was that he was his timing and his cannonball, the tone. It was like there's a and of course we're talking about one whole genre of just one specific genre of style here too. This is not, this doesn't come into, I don't know anything about classical music, so I can't define a great classical player. I couldn't define, I do listen to a lot of jazz, but I don't play it, so I can't define that either. But I've become from bluegrass and feel, you know, like somebody like Roy Husky, there's that sound that, and it's a percussive as well as a tonal thing, and it's a very cannonball-like feel, big, low end. And, well, just trying to make it. As opposed to, it's in the, well, I'm doing a couple things, mostly with the left hand. And in other words, you know, there's a classical technique, which is really great to know, and it's powerful to understand the fingerboard, and very important if you're gonna take the bass to any level. But if I was trying to get that tone, I would go away from that specific technique, which is to have your finger pressing down strictly from the, with a curved knuckle and straight down on the string. It creates a beautiful sustaining tone, but that's not gonna give you that sound. I lay two fingers down and get as much of the fatty, meaty part of the fingers onto the string as possible, flat against the fingerboard, and then it also has to do with how you pull the string, as you pull it on your right hand all the way through, following through to land on the string behind it, not out in the air. And so there's that combination, but a lot of it, most of it has to do with my left hand to get that sound. Thank you. Yes.
Well, I'm sorry that you had to ask that question after that horrible example of remembering. I forgot a lot of those words, so I'm sorry. But generally, the fingers kind of are on autopilot. You know what I'm saying? It's like a little bit of a different level of memory. Sometimes they're both just so ingrained, and you've done them so many times that they just, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard, it's actually hard to do something very complicated with your left hand while also singing, for me. So like, I can put my hand like that in one chord position and then go. Now I can sing a lot and all kinds of stuff too. But if I was to try to be like, now I can sing a lot. Can't really do that as well.
Guys, look for when in bass players.
I don't know. I've never heard the term cannonball used before. That's really good. I think of trying to punch somebody in the face when I, you know, I'm trying to get that tone, because it's really the punch. You can tell a good bass player from, like, the bass is the first thing you hear in a jam when you're walking around at night up here. You know, lower frequencies have, they carry the farthest and everything. So you can really, you can tell a good bass player from, you know, yards away. You know, generally that's the jams I'll walk up on if I hear somebody really punching me in the face.
Same thing, yeah, I look for a feel and a drive, something that has a propulsion that makes me feel happy and motivated.
And that I would say that would go for pretty much any bass, any, well, maybe not any style, but definitely like bluegrass and the swing music that I play, and the, I don't know, even jazz bass players. I don't like too much tone. I think tone's overrated.
She asked what I liked about moving from the classical world into the bluegrass world, and what I liked about it is that I can do whatever I want now. Kind of, actually, when it comes down to it, the world of like bluegrass, like in terms of the smaller, like really specifically defined bluegrass world, it's kind of like, it's kind of not all that flexible when it really comes down to it. You have to like get in on the outskirts. You have to like move to the suburbs of bluegrass and build your own, you know, strip mall. Should we play a song that demonstrates some bass tone? One more? Boy, what should we do for one more, guys?
Oh, no.
Oh, that one's a little, that was too many chords, I think. Ooh, they, how many people want to hear something traditional? Anybody for something traditional?
Star, star. Star, star.
Georgia Brown. Wait, hold on a second. I'd have the perfect thing for Sweet Georgia Brown.
I'm frightened.
It's the lyrics. Okay, and it starts there.
Any other quick questions before we... That's just because I do, you know, I play it all the time, and then if I get something else, it looks and feels different. This is actually shorter neck. It's got a D neck instead of an E flat neck, and there's differences. It's just a slightly shorter neck, and so I'm used to that. And that's the worst problem, is to have to change to an E flat neck.
What was the question?
Do you feel like we're in someone else's shoes when you play a different bass?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. And I just bought a new bass, so I'm still breaking them in. Shoes.
Yeah.
Do you play through an amplifier?
No, actually, I have a Fishman Full Circle pickup and a Crown microphone together, and I use it through a Fishman blender. And that, you know, there are lots of things out there, but I've used that every single day, and it always works no matter what the setting, because I have a lot of control within my thing, and I always recommend a pickup and a mic combination. And you can use it with an amp. I just don't, because of the bands that I'm playing with right now don't require it. So. Yes. Well, and I use the monitors, but that's only because the bands that I'm working in are quiet, and I have a band of my own right now that's actually not very quiet, so I use an amp with that band. So.
I definitely use an amp. We're a very loud band. Anytime you play with drums, you know you're gonna definitely have to use an amplifier. So if I used a microphone, I would tend to feedback more. So I definitely go with a pickup. Right now I'm using a K&K, just the regular bass max pickup, which is it's great. This is my second one. They're pretty much, they're definitely very roadworthy. You can't break them. They're awesome. But the David Gage Realist pickup is the best pickup I've actually played with. I borrowed a bass one time, and it actually sounded like wood coming out of an amplifier, which is very hard to do. Yeah. So that would be my recommendation for pickups.
Okay.